Our scripture today is Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. Luke chapter 15, we're going to start reading in verse 11, and we will read through verse 19. This is a very familiar story to many Bible readers. It is a famous story of the Bible, and the first thing that we want to do is to make sure that we read this text and get these words firmly implanted in our minds, and then we want to dwell on these words, explain the passage, and then we want to apply the meaning in a particular way that we're going to look at today. Luke chapter 15, let's begin reading in verse 11. And he said, and this is Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. This story, sadly, happens every day, and it usually happens to young people. Anybody who's been through it can see it coming to other people. It's easy to see when this is about to happen to somebody. Most people are self-willed. They have to learn for themselves. And this young man did. He did exactly what many people do today and have done and are doing. He lived for the moment, but the moment didn't last. He lived for himself, but he needed his family. He lived for pleasure, but pleasure did not feed his empty stomach. When reality set in, life was not so fun for this young man. And when he came down to earth, he really hit hard. So hard, it shook some sense into his head. This young man went from having it all to having nothing. He went from nights of partying to days of worrying. And when he was at his lowest, broke and hungry, humiliated and miserable, he did a lot of thinking, which is good. And he saw the condition he was in, and he had to make a decision. What, if anything, he would do about this condition that he was in? And the good thing is that he admitted some things about it. He faced what he had done, and he knew what he had to do now. So this passage is a powerful lesson in admission. It's about admitting things that we don't like to admit. And it shows that many times we have to be in painful situations in life before we will admit what we need to confess. And to show that this young man made the right choice, I want to talk about what he did not do when he got into this condition. I'm not going to be talking so much about what he did do. I'm going to look at a few things that he could have done had he been a different person, but he did not choose to do these things. Here are some things that the prodigal son did not do. First of all, when he was hungry and broke, he did not steal. Even though he was broke, even though he was hungry, he did not resort to stealing. Now, Solomon said that the laws of the land are usually not as hard on a man who is in that kind of situation. He said in Proverbs 6, verse 30, Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. Now, Solomon is not saying there that it is right for a man to steal when he's hungry. He's just saying that people go easier on a man when he's stolen for that reason. But the prodigal son did not resort to stealing. He didn't say to himself, well, it's either steal or starve. He knew that these were not the only choices. So he was not so lazy that he would starve, and he was not so desperate that he would steal or even beg. So no matter how bad the circumstances are, there is always a right thing to do. Now, many people, if they had been in the shoes of this prodigal son, would have stolen. As a matter of fact, there are people that are not hungry that steal anyway. Some people don't even have to be hungry to steal from other people, but here is a young man who is hungry, but he does not resort to stealing. That is off limits to him, and that's something that he does not do. And the Bible does say that for some people, poverty is a temptation. Back in Proverbs chapter 30, beginning in verse 7, the Bible says, "Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches." So the writer here says, I don't want to be poor or rich. Just feed me with food convenient for me. And he tells us why in verse 9. "Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord?" So the temptation, he says, for those with riches is to be so full and self-satisfied that they deny the Lord and that they say, who is the Lord? In other words, the temptation when you are rich is to be so independent that you feel like you don't need the Lord. On the other hand, he said, "Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." So he says that the temptation for a poor man is to steal and to take God's name in vain, perhaps because he's so angry at his circumstances that he tends to take God's name in vain. But even though this young man, we call the prodigal son, was in a situation where he was broke and hungry, he did not resort to stealing. This is one thing that he did not do. Number two, the prodigal son did not go to his so-called friends and ask them for money. What friends am I talking about? I'm talking about those companions that he partied with, because he did have people that were with him when he was in that partying lifestyle. While he was drinking and living a wild life, he had so-called friends by his side. But when his money ran out, his so-called friends ran out on him. Why didn't he move in with his friends? Because they were not his friends to begin with. The Bible tells us in verse 16, "No man gave unto him." Now think about what made them friends to begin with. What was it that drew them together? What was it that he and these others had in common to start with? It was because they were all selfish. The party life that they were involved in is all about me. When people live a party lifestyle and they refer to their companions in that partying as their friends, it's all about me. People like that are not true friends. They're just out to use each other, or at least they only enjoy somebody's company when they can party and have a good time. And yet, you find that people who have those so-called friends today say, "Well, my friends are there for me." And sometimes you'll hear them say, "I've got your back, man." And yet, when they're in a difficult circumstance, when they're in a tight spot, their friends, so-called, are not there. Just like the prodigal son. What happened to his friends? Where were they? And what happened to his female friends? His older brother talked about the harlots that he ran around with. Where were they? When his money ran out, so did they. So the prodigal son did not go to his friends to get help. Number three, and we have to commend the prodigal son in this way. The prodigal son, when he was hungry and broke, did not wallow in self-pity. We don't find him feeling sorry for himself and refusing to do anything about it. He didn't say, "Well, if my family really cared about me, they'd find me and they'd help me." Sorrow for sin is good only if it leads a man to turn his life around. The Bible says that godly sorrow works repentance. That is, it brings about repentance, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. In the Bible, we find people that were sorrowful, but their sorrow was actually self-pity and nothing more. In Genesis 4, the Bible talks about Cain being down and sad and dejected and also mad. And yet we never find him repenting. As a matter of fact, he only got worse because he felt sorry for himself. We read about Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 28. And even though he had been warned repeatedly not to turn in the wrong direction, he did. And his stubbornness led him to a witch in 1 Samuel chapter 28, who actually was the source of some bad news for that man. Yes, he was sorry, but it was the kind of self-pity that did not bring about repentance. King Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 21, because a man would not sell him the property that he wanted, wallowed in self-pity. But we have to hand it to the prodigal son, because even though he is down, nobody's helping him. He is so hungry that he wants to eat the hog's food. Even when he is down that low, we do not find him feeling sorry for himself. Number four, we do not see this young man becoming more stubborn and more prideful because he's in a bad way. We don't find him saying after he's hungry and broke, "Well, I know that I'm to blame, but I'm not going to apologize to anybody. I know that it's my fault, but I'm not going to say that I'm sorry." Some people have that kind of foolish pride. They just keep digging the hole deeper and deeper. And even though they know they're wrong, they're too stubborn to admit it. So because of their foolish pride, they either choose to be miserable or they try to tell themselves and other people, "Well, it's not really that bad. I can handle it. It's not all that bad." The more pain that some people experience, the more hardened they become, the more stubborn they are. That's what we see in Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 10, verse 3. Moses and Aaron finally said to Pharaoh, "How long will you refuse to humble yourself before the Lord?" And sometimes we ask that question about people today. How much worse is the circumstance going to be before you humble yourself and admit your fault and repent in the sight of God? But the prodigal son did not become so stubborn and so prideful that he said, "I don't care what happens to me, I'll never go back and apologize to my father." He didn't have that kind of wrong attitude. Number five, the prodigal son did not blame his father. He didn't blame his father for giving him the money. Now, what I'm talking about is this. If the prodigal son had wanted to, if he had been like some people today, he would have said, "Well, why did my father give me that money anyway? He knew what would happen to me. He knew that I would blow it. He knew that I would go broke. And if he knew that, then why did he give me the money and let me go away to begin with?" You see, if a man wants to blame somebody besides himself, he'll find somebody. He'll find somebody if it's his father or his mother, or if it's his friends. The prodigal son could have blamed his friends. He could have blamed his other family members. He could have blamed his older brother. He could have blamed the servants at his father's house. He could have blamed the man who gave him this job feeding his hogs. But he didn't do that. He didn't blame anybody but himself. And that's why he turned his life around. The Bible teaches individual accountability. The Bible teaches personal responsibility. And in Ezekiel chapter 18, the Bible plainly shows that a son cannot blame his father, and a father cannot blame his son. Each person answers for his own actions in life. And that is a lesson that is greatly needed in our time today. So many people are quick to blame somebody else, or they're quick to blame something else, some circumstance in life, or anything that they can, rather than giving the responsibility to their own free will. Number six, when the prodigal son was broke and hungry, he did not blame the government and he did not expect the government to bail him out. He didn't protest. He didn't whine. He didn't complain, saying, "Well, why doesn't the government do more to help people like me?" You see, a natural disaster had occurred. There was a great drought. And he didn't expect the government to save him. As a matter of fact, if this young man and others like him had rioted and marched and demanded that the government give them aid, they would have been ignored at best or beaten and jailed at worst. Today, people expect the government to do everything for them. But folks in Bible times were glad just to have rulers to let them alone. this fella made a bad decision, and he went broke over it, and he had to pay and suffer the consequences. And there was no thought about the government fixing his situation. So he did not blame the government, and he did not expect the government to get him out of this mess that he had created. Number 7, the prodigal son, though he was broke and hungry, did not go back to his father and ask him for more money. The Bible doesn't say that when the prodigal son was down and out like he was, that he said, "I will arise and go to my father and say, 'Father, I have spent all that you gave me, and I'm going to need some more money.'" He didn't do that, did he? Neither the son nor the father in this story believed in those kinds of bailouts. And what if the story had been different? What if the son had been a different kind of man? And what if the father had been a different kind of man? Suppose that the son had gone to his father and said something like this, "Father, I know I've made some bad mistakes. I know that I'm to blame. But if you'll just give me one more chance, and if you'll just give me some more money, I'll do better this time. So I'm asking you to give me some more money, and I'm going to go back to that country that I just came back from, and I'm going to do my best then." He didn't do that, but suppose that he had. And suppose that the father had been a different kind of man in that kind of situation, and the father said in response, "I know that you made a mistake, and everybody makes mistakes, so yes, I'm going to go ahead and give you some more money here, and I just believe that you're going to do better this time." Well, if the father had done that, it would not have been the last, because if he started that situation by bailing him out of trouble, then he would have to keep it up. He would have to keep on bailing him out every time he got into trouble, and the young man would have never learned his lesson. The young man would never have learned from his mistakes if his father had intervened like that. And not only that, if this father had been a different kind of man and had tried to rescue his son from this trouble before he got to that point, then the young man would never have learned his lesson either. Now, what I'm saying is this. What if the father had gotten worried and anxious about his son? And then he traveled and finally found this young man while he was partying, and just about the time he was going broke. And the young man said, "Father, I'm just about out of money. I know I'm doing some bad things here." And the father said, "Well, that's okay, son. Everybody makes mistakes. And I'm going to give you plenty of money here, and you do better this time." Now think about how different the story would be. Think about what would have happened, and think about what would not have occurred if the father had intervened like that. If the father had come to the prodigal son and had given him money, then the prodigal son would not have gone broke like he did. The prodigal son would not have to go out and get the job that he did. The prodigal son would not have felt as hungry as he did. He would never have experienced the kind of pain that he did, where he got so hungry that he wanted to eat what the hogs were eating, and he felt like going home. In other words, if the father had intervened, even though he may have had all the best intentions in the world, if the father had done that and tried to rescue this young man, the young man would never have come to his senses, and he would have never repented. But because of the pain, because of the adversity, the Bible says that he came to himself. It took that kind of pain to wake him up. So sometimes parents think that they're helping their children when in fact they're hurting them. They think that they're doing them a service when actually they're doing them a disservice. They think that they're doing the best for them when they're actually doing the worst thing possible. Number 8, the prodigal son did not get mad at God and religion. The prodigal son did not become a bitter person and hateful and say, "Well, I don't even believe that there is a God. If there was a God, he wouldn't let me go through this. He wouldn't let me go hungry like this." And besides this, what about all those religious people who talk so much about helping other people and loving other people and caring about other people? Where are they? I need help, and I don't see any of those God-fearing people helping me. And what about all their talk about God being with you and God taking care of you in spite of the circumstances? The prodigal son didn't talk like that. He didn't get mad at God and try to blame God and blame God-fearing people. But there are many people today who are like that. They blame God and get angry with God and get angry with the church and even angry with the Bible because they're experiencing sickness or death in the family or poverty or some kind of tribulation in their life, and they blame God and they turn away from God and don't want anything to do with religion at all. But we have to remember that life is not always fair and equal to any of us. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11, that time and chance happen to them all. All of us have accidents in life, and life is not always going to give us a fair shake. The Bible says God causes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and on the just and on the unjust. Matthew 5, verse 45. Now, Job had great tribulation in his life. Job lost his 10 children. He lost all of his possessions. He lost his health, and he was angry. But he did not turn away from God. And that's the kind of attitude that we need to make sure we maintain in our lives. So we really have to compliment the prodigal son because he didn't get mad at God and religion and become a sour and a bitter person. So when the prodigal son was in this terrible situation, here is what he didn't do. He didn't steal. He didn't go to his friends and borrow money. He didn't wallow in self-pity. He didn't become stubborn and prideful. He didn't blame his father and other people. He didn't blame the government and expect the government to help him. He didn't go back to his father and ask for more. And he did not get mad at God and religion. This young man made some bad decisions in life. He made a bad decision when he went to his father and wanted his inheritance early. He wasn't ready to handle that kind of money. He wasn't responsible enough to know what to do with it. And so he was just selfish, and he made a bad choice when he was so anxious to get that money and spend it that he had to have it right then. He made a bad decision when he left his father's house. While he was around his family, he was accountable to them. There was the safety and the security and even the provisions that were there in that home. But he was bound and determined to get out. And when he did, he found that the world was not what he thought it was, and he was not ready to face the world as it really is. He went into this strange country, and he found that people were not like the people that he grew up with. He made a bad decision when he joined himself to these other companions, and he wasted this inheritance with riotous living. He made a bad choice when he decided to live it up and live a wild life, and he paid the consequences for his sin. He even made a bad decision when he joined himself to a citizen of that country instead of going back home to his father's house to begin with. But he made the right choice. He made the best decision when he came to his senses and he decided to go back and apologize to his father and change his attitude and change his life. But it took him becoming broke and hungry, so hungry that he wanted to eat what the hogs were eating before he came to that point. So we might look at this situation and we might look at other circumstances in life and think that going broke is the worst thing that could happen to a man, or that feeling hungry is the worst thing that could happen to an individual. But going broke was actually the best thing that could have happened to this young man. Feeling hungry was the best thing that could have happened to him because had it not been for those circumstances, he would not have come to his senses and he would not have turned his life around. Now, we've talked for the most part about what the prodigal son did not do when he was in this affliction. Here is what this young man did do. Number one, he admitted to himself the condition that he was in. He didn't deny that he was in trouble. He didn't act like that it wasn't so bad. He didn't tell himself, well, this will be over soon and I'll get a better job. He didn't live in a fantasy land. He faced reality. He faced the cold, hard, bitter truth. I'm about to die and I cannot go on like this. In Luke 15, verse 17, the Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Now he's remembering what it was like to be back at his father's house. Now he's remembering the good days. And now he says, those servants of my father's have more than I do, and I'm here perishing. I'm about to die out of hunger. The second thing that the prodigal son did was that he admitted the cause of his problems. He didn't blame other people. He didn't make excuses. He didn't say, well, my so-called friends got me into this mess. No, he did. And in verse 18, he said, I'm going to arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He didn't go to his father and say, somebody else did this or you're to blame. He said, I am the source of the problem. I have brought all this on me. I have sinned. I'm the cause of it. And number three, the prodigal son admitted what the answer or what the solution was to his problems. There was only one answer, and that was to go back to the start, when he first got off on the wrong foot. And when he went back with an entirely different attitude. Notice the contrast here. Back in verse 12, the Bible says, at the beginning, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. He had a give me attitude. He had a selfish attitude. He had an arrogant disposition. But now he's humble. Now he says in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He said, I'm not fit to be called your son anymore. I don't deserve to be called your son, so just make me as one of thy hired servants. He's no longer demanding anything of his father. He doesn't have all these expectations and demands. Now he's humbled, and he will be satisfied just to be like one of the hired servants. Now, if you're lost in sin, this is the decision that you have to make. You have to change your mind. You have to change your attitude. You have to go from expecting and demanding everything and being a selfish person to humbling yourself before God and asking what you're supposed to do to be saved. These are the same things that you have to admit, just like the prodigal son admitted them. You have to, like he did, admit the condition that you're in, the lost state that you're in. The prodigal son finally admitted the condition that he was in, and that's when he began to change. And if you're going to change the state that you're in, the first thing that you have to do is to admit the wrong condition that you're in. You are, as Ephesians 2 verse 12 says, having no hope and without God in the world. You are in a condition that the Bible describes as being sick spiritually. Isaiah 1, verses 5 and 6. One of the first things that a person has to do before he's going to get better physically is to admit that he is sick, to admit that he is ill. And if he doesn't admit that, then he's not going to get better. The first thing that you have to do is to admit that you are in a sin-sick condition. Isaiah 1, verses 5 and 6 talks about that. The second thing that you have to admit is what the prodigal son admitted, and that is the reason why you're in this condition to start with, and that is because you have sinned. The prodigal son finally got to the point to where he confessed, I have sinned. I'm to blame, not God, not other people. It's my fault, mine and mine alone. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The reason that a man is lost is because of his sin, and a man has to be willing to face that and confess it before he can move on. And number three, the prodigal son had to admit what the answer to his situation was, and in the same way, people who are lost today have to admit that the answer is not in themselves, the answer is in God, and in coming to God in humble obedience. This is what the people on Pentecost Day admitted when they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, And in verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the Bible teaches that when a child of God goes astray from his Lord, that person needs to repent and confess that sin. And if so, the God of heaven, the Father of that erring child of God, is able and willing to forgive. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The prodigal son came home to his father. Will you come home today?